Hey everybody, this is Sequel Centric, where we normally take a look at follow-ups in the media to see how they stack up against their predecessors. But today is a special, special, special day.
Triple special.
Why, you ask?
Why, Sandy, why?
Because we're going to do a fireside chat, and we have our first in-studio guest. I am not finished. I am Sandra. That last was sass. And he is the TS to my Brandy, Nate. How are you?
Great.
How's it going?
Great. How's it going?
Staying in trouble?
No, never.
Never.
Overall, excellent. I'm really excited to talk about another Kevin Smith flick. This time we're going to talk about the theatrical and alternate cut. But before we do, let's introduce our first guess of the day. Yeah, we got, you're the first of many, Justin. But you're faster, you can see the sailboat, you're slower than Walt Flanagan's dog, and you're slightly more comfortable than the back of a Volkswagen. Justin, how are you doing, and what's your hype level for this topic?
Well, one thing's for sure. Let me try that again. One thing's for sure, I'm doing a lot better than the Easter Bunny after he saw Jay and Silent Bob.
Poor Easter Bunny.
As for my hype level, I'm going to go cow tipper out of 10.
There you go. I'm super excited. Thanks for asking. This is one of my favorite films from Kevin Smith. But before we do any of that, let's greet our viewers and listeners.
Excellent. We would like to welcome any newcomers as well as our tried and true regulars. Don't forget to hit the like and subscribe button as well as the notification bell, because you don't want to mess out on any of this hot crap. And any new episodes or rewatch episode 37, Clerks.
Hot crap.
Wow.
At least it's not cold.
This is true.
Hot steaming pile of poo.
It's like fresh.
If you're looking for some more sequel-centric content, head on over to patreon.com/sequel-centric. For a mere dollar, you can access a small sailboat of content right now, including sequel-centric short, The Quieting of the Shrew, and Tidbits Compilation Volume 2.
Speaking of Patreon, we here at Sequel Centric would like to thank our super outrageous tier Patons for helping us grow this channel, like Marty and Jonathan, the tire guy.
Shouts out to Marty and Jonathan.
A special shout out to my buddy Victor, who after 37 days of verbal abuse and badgering last year, also plunged into the VUSQ universe. Go get your cow tipper on, to quote Justin.
Do it, Victor.
Before we start talking about today's episode, we would like to let everyone know that normally Fireside Chat is over on patreon.com/sequelcentric. And starting at $1, we're doing this again, huh? You get blah.
You're right there.
No, I tripped on my tongue.
What are you, Adam Sandler in the Hotel Transylvania?
Blah. Before we start talking about today's episode, we would like to let everyone know that normally Fireside Chat is over on patreon.com/sequelcentric. And starting at $1, you get watch lists, bloopers, and Stump the Chump. These are bonus episodes where we here at Sequel Centric can have a more relaxed and open conversation about any piece of media or test our movie knowledge with a quiz. Give us a try.
Yeah, come on. It's just a dollar. What have you got to lose?
Yeah, Justin, what do you have to lose?
Shut up, Nate.
Okay, today marks our third time diving into the mind of Kevin Smith in the VUSQ universe, the franchise that we didn't know was connected at the time. So we here at Sequel Centric want to have a fireside chat about the movie Mallrats, how we think of it, and could it be better than Clerks?
Spoiler alert. No.
No. A little movie info before we chat it up. Justin, will you do us the honor of reading the movie facts?
Gladly. Mallrats was released on October 20th, 1995. It was rated R, sorry kids, and it's got a runtime of 97 minutes. It was written and directed by Kevin Smith, with music by various artists, including Weezer. How do you guys feel about Weezer?
I like him.
Take him or leave him.
Okay, well, it was edited by Paul Dixon, produced by Scott Mosier, James Jack, and Sean Daniel, with a budget of $6 million, and box office returns were only $2 million.
They're no Bon Jovi, but you know.
Nope. Lastly, it was distributed by Universal Pictures.
Obviously a hit for Universal.
What's the term, cult classic?
Yeah, it only took 30 years.
Yeah. So we have a quick summary on Mallrats. T.S. Quint and his best friend Brody Bruce take a trip to the mall after their girlfriends break up with them. I'm spitting on the mic. T.S.'s girlfriend, Brandy, is participating in a dating game show at the mall, which was the initial cause of their breakup. Meanwhile, Brody's ex, Renee, has begun dating sleazy store manager Shannon. T.S. and Brody seek out ways to ruin the game show, hunted all the while by Brandy's father, Mr. Svenning, and LaFors, the head of the mall security. Jay and Silent Bob are up to no good, as usual, and helping people along the way.
Fun fact! The magic eye image used in the film actually just reveals some simple geometric shapes. But for one reason or another, they decided to say the hidden image was a sailboat.
Which is a great gag throughout
the
movie.
Yeah, I kept trying to look for the damn sailboat.
I know, I'm sitting there staring at my TV as though it's going to do anything.
I know, like I hit pause, I'm like, I don't see nothing.
You're there screaming at your TV.
I don't see it.
Speaking of William, he looks at Renee and calls her Brenda, a reference to Shannon Doherty's character on Beverly Hills 90210.
That was a good show.
Gwen, who was played by Joey Lauren Adams, used to date Kevin Smith.
Which is the reason why Chasing Amy exists, based off of that experience.
Is it actually?
Yeah, a little bit, yeah. Renee wears the Degrassi jacket, and Kevin Smith is a fan of the Canadian
episode show. Within an episode, fun fact.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what you just did.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome.
A podcast within a podcast?
Yeah.
Okay.
Whatever.
Gil Hicks on the dating show is actually Dante from Clerks' cousin.
Yep. Played by the same actor, Ryan O'Hallan.
Yeah. Sans goatee.
Yeah.
Sandy, give us the next
movie exec. Oh, I get to read one now?
Yeah, you get to read one now.
Oh, boy.
I know.
Movie execs didn't want Jason Mewes to play the loudmouth Jay, and Seth Green was one of the actors up for the part.
Don't think he would have done as well.
Yeah, it would have been no disrespect to Seth Green.
Yeah, no, we love our Seth Green. I can't talk today.
Jason Mewes was the way to go, 100%.
Yeah. Heck yeah.
Stan Lee made a cameo in this movie before his MCU cameos made him famous. Plus, in Captain Marvel, Stan Lee is on a bus reading a script to Mallrats because the movie takes place during the 90s. It's canon.
When Stan and I saw that movie, I saw that I was freaking out. Mallrats exists in the MCU universe as a movie.
Can we get Jay and Silent Bob versus Thanos or something?
Oh, right.
Blunt Man and Chronic.
There you go. What do you think about this movie, Sandy?
Well, it's one of my favorite Kevin Smith movies. I liked the story a little better.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed Clerks, but it took me a few watches to finally get into it. Whereas Mallrats, I was, in from the first time I saw it. So, liked this, not really a story, but, it's kind of just shenanigans and, what kids do at the mall. And
I think with these first two movies, Clerks and Mallrats, I think Justin's generation can relate to. It's just two people in the movie that are just having normal talks that you would have with your friends or your coworkers or whatever. I think it's so relatable.
Right. And it gave me a lot of flashbacks to when I was a teenager.
Yeah.
Although Mother Tucker kind of, she was very strict and.
Yeah, we know. No watch list.
Yeah.
I've heard about the watch list.
If I didn't have a reason to be at the mall, I was not allowed to go to the mall.
So you just couldn't go there just to hang out?
No,
I couldn't. Like Brody.
I couldn't.
You had
be
to have a reason.
I couldn't be one of the mall rats.
Get your ears pierced.
You actually had a shopping agenda, as Shannon would say.
Yeah, I had to have a shopping agenda.
At least you wouldn't have to worry about the manager from, what was it, Fashionable Mail?
Yeah.
Justin, you're the newest to this IP. What are your thoughts on this 1995, what I would call a classic?
You know, I'm kind of ashamed that, not just for this movie, that I haven't watched any of these movies sooner.
Yeah.
I liked it a lot. I was saying earlier off camera, I think this movie, dare I say, is timeless.
Yeah.
The only thing I think about this movie that shows its age is the cars that people drive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Other than that, I feel like they didn't even really make that many like references to celebrities of the time or anything like that. Like you guys were saying, most of the dialogue felt like just conversations I could be having with my friends throughout the mall. Yeah. You know, having arguments about the cookie store, whether or not it's part of the food court.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I liked the movie a lot, and I think they did a great job casting the characters. They all felt like actual people to me. Yeah.
So where do you guys stand on the cookie debacle?
I'm pretty much with Brody. If it's not within the designated food court area, it's outside, then it's mid-mall snacking or whatever.
Yeah. Agreed.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mid-mall snacking.
Gotcha. I'm with you guys. I enjoy this movie, even including the director's cut that we'll talk about in a while. But once again, Kevin Smith writing it with the snappy dialogue and everything, and T.S. and Brody, to me, kind of felt like a lot like Dante and Randall with their conversations, and like how Randall's got the sarcasm. I mean, Brody really has it, like you mentioned in a different recording. Him and Ryan Reynolds, they bring the sarcasm every time they're in a project. And, you know, because I'm sarcastic myself, it's probably why I gravitate towards these actors.
Yeah.
I love this movie so much. I've built it. I've bought it multiple times. And even bought it on Laserdisc. But yeah, I think this, like, to piggyback off what you said, this, it captures the American shopper, the oversized buildings and the retail stores and eateries and everything before Amazon came in and started wiping out everything.
What was that? What was the cookie stand called? Did they ever name it?
Was it Cookie and Timer?
No, but
Time for Cookies.
Yeah. And then they had another store. What was it? Buy Me Toys. Yeah. He's halfway to Buy Me Toys by now.
Yeah.
And I wonder if that was a reference to KB Toys.
Probably. My favorite made-up shop at that mall is Rug Munchers.
Yeah, I forgot about that one.
Okay, enough about mall talk. Let's talk about some of our favorite scenes in Mallrats.
Was that an indirect cut to Chasing Amy?
Maybe. Maybe. Or foreshadowing Chasing Amy?
Yeah.
Who knows? Let's go over some of our favorite scenes in Mallrats. We'll start it off with Justin.
I gotta say, number one, I really liked the whole chocolate covered pretzels thing, especially when they did the extreme close up.
Oh, yeah.
When he was licking the chocolate off his
funny
finger.
And his hands, funny and disturbing at the same time.
And then I really enjoyed in the extended version when they showed the shot of the line of kids walking by T.S. on the bench. They're all crying.
Yeah, because Willem, who can't see the sailboat, like lost his shit on him. Yeah. Like, oh, it's a schooner. Ha ha, you dumb bastard.
It's a sailboat, not a schooner.
A schooner is a sailboat.
Stupid head.
Yeah. The Easter Bunny's not real. Yeah. He's a man in a suit.
Oh. Favorite scene for you, Sandy?
Crushing kids' dreams since 95. Favorite scenes? There's the first, one of my favorite ones is when they first walk into the mall and they're, you know, Brody's talking to T.S. about, I forget what, and, you know, he turns around and he said, you know, unless, you know, you're in for shock and awe. And as he turns around, he gets smacked in the face with a beam from the stage that they're erecting.
The world's shortest support beam for a stage.
And, you know, then, you know, T.S. and, you know, he leans down, you should heed your own advice.
Yeah.
You
know?
One of my favorite scenes, is the, and I'm sure this is the reason why I got the rated R, was Miss Ivana's topless fortune telling, and with her extra nipple.
How could we forget the third one?
Oh, yeah. I know. And Brody's reaction is just, you know, classic.
Well, at one moment, he's all down to
he's
see.
He's all excited. Ooh, I get to see boobs.
Yeah, yeah. And then he sees the third nipple, and he's like this.
I'm out. And then make eye contact.
From sheer excitement to sheer horror.
Any other favorite scenes before we head over to favorite lines?
Well, you know, there's the cookie debacle. That was a good scene.
I also liked in the also in the extended version when Brody takes the camera crew to Svenning's window.
Okay.
And Svenning's all like dancing in his towel.
Yeah, Mr. Svenning is the same actor that plays Yondu in Guardians of the Galaxy.
And also, I don't remember the character's name. He's also in The Walking Dead as well, right?
Oh, is he? Yeah. I haven't seen that.
Daryl? I don't know. I don't watch the show, but I believe he was also in The Walking Dead.
Okay. I'll have to look it up, Nate.
Favorite line?
Favorite line? There's so many.
Pick one. Or hand it off to Justin.
In the elevator scene, when, you know, after they're done having their fun time.
They're quickie.
Yeah. And, he gets all offended when she's, you know, because she says, you know, too little, too late.
Yeah.
And she's like, you know, you said it was a good size. And she's like, when a girl says it's a good size, it's a nice way of saying that it's small.
Justin, got a favorite line?
What, like the back of a Volkswagen?
Yeah, that's another running gag.
Yeah.
Another running gag, which I'll piggyback off, is that, you know, Brody always, for whatever reason, he's losing his S about that kid. That kid's back on the escalator again. Leave it alone. And even the extended cut, which you just recently saw, I think they see it like maybe two extra times.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just, you know, even in the theatrical cut, it's just they're talking with him and Brody and T.S. are talking with Trish DeDish and how she's 15 and she's, you know, got permission from her parents to write this sex book, you know, and she's talking to T.S. about her research, and he's just like, Brody's just flipping out about the kid on the escalator.
Yeah. I have another one from, and it leads into the cookie debacle. You know, they go from talking about superheroes, you know, who's going to carry Superman's baby.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's got to be Lois Lane, right?
Yeah.
There's no way.
Yeah.
Because of Superman being from Krypton, he would shoot like a shotgun.
He would shoot a load through her back. Yeah. Only one strong enough is Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
And then they start, you know, they go into, you know, cookies, part of the eatery. Part of the eatery is, you know, part of the food court. And we're not talking quantum physics here.
Yeah. It's upstairs from the food court. Yeah. This isn't quantum physics.
Yeah.
Let's read some fun facts about the director's / extended cut. Sandy, start us off.
Okay. This version of the film is 30 minutes longer.
It opens with the governor's ball, which is, funny enough, the 37th governor's ball.
The quick stop has a brief, and do mean like drive-by brief cameo.
Real quick. Nobody even says anything about it.
I know. There are alternate or extended scenes in this version.
Which, funny enough, about those extended scenes, they spend quite some time in the intro to the movie with Kevin Smith. That, what was the other guy's name who played Roddy?
Mosier?
Scott Mosier, yeah. When the two of them were talking about all the extended scenes, they would talk about how the in the extended version, there would be some like skipping or jumping around on the film, I guess, but I only really noticed that like once or twice. I felt like they added like a dramatization of it in the intro. And I felt like what they did there was so much more jarring than the actual moments where it skipped in the movie. They spent all this time talking about how the extended cut was inferior. That being one of the reasons why. I didn't even notice that for the most part.
Right.
You find out why Svenning calls Brody his neighbor in this version from the theatrical cut.
Yeah. Likes
and dislikes.
Yeah,
let's do our likes.
Okay.
I like it because it was in color.
Good call.
Of course, of course. I mean,
nothing against black and white movies. I've seen my fair share.
For sure, Clerks was great.
Yeah,
but in Clerks 3, they explain why Clerks is in black and white.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh yeah, that is true. Yeah.
Yeah.
One thing I liked about it, that I like about pretty much, they usually do it towards the end of most of the movies where Silent Bob speaks in the movie again.
Yeah, he usually has
one line.
Usually a bit of wisdom.
Yeah.
This time I felt like he was just saying stuff just because.
Yeah.
But in like Chasing Amy, holy crap.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He gets meta.
Well, in Chasing Amy, not to jump off too much, him and Silent Bob they're throughout this movie in Clerks and then Dogma and Strike Back, it's all them. They just have this one scene with, I forgot his name. Holden McNeil,
his character's name.
He had a lot to say. I think in Chasing Amy, that's the most Silent Bob says.
Yeah.
But this one, I would agree. He's just saying stuff to say something. It wasn't, even in Clerks, he had a bit of wisdom to share with them.
Dante. Doesn't he like give Dante a bunch of crap because Dante is like complaining about his job or whatever?
His girlfriend, whatever.
He's complaining about, and he's like, you know, there's a lot of fine women out there, but only one of them brings you lasagna.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, damn.
Truth.
Shifting back to Mallrats, but
we're talking about Mallrats.
But
that's
also
another episode.
But also going back to Clerks, the dialogue is a lot like Clerks. You got two buddies, snappy dialogue, shenanigans ensue. There's no hockey on the roof or a funeral scene, but there's a lot of great stuff.
There's plenty of other tomfoolery.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh yeah.
Even without roof hockey.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
You got like Silent Bob inadvertently peeping on Gwen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For what was it? Two or three different occasions? It was two occasions.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. By the third time, she's like, forget it. I'll just do this.
Any other likes, Sandy, before we hit on the dislikes?
Well, yeah. You know, like with the tomfoolery and all that, the multiple times that Jay and Silent Bob try to take down the stage, you know, first time is with a sock full of quarters.
Oh, yeah. Like they were going to take out LaForest.
And the second time, you know, he's flying like Batman.
Yeah.
Fly, fat ass, fly.
After that is when they kind of started doing the Blunt Man and Chronic thing, right?
Because
he had like the bat ears on it.
Yeah,
on
that's kind of a foreshadowing.
Which,
yeah.
You know, even leads up to their chase scene.
Yeah.
And when Silent Bob passes the security guards,
he's quick. Yeah. He just runs by him, grabs Jay, and keeps running.
Yeah.
Yeah. I found out, I think years later, you know, that Mallrats is technically it takes place before Clerks. It takes place one day before Clerks. Because there's a lot of, you watch both movies, there's a lot of same dialogue, especially with Julie doing laps in the pool, and she had a stroke and died, and some other stuff. So that's another like plus for me about Mallrats. You know,
the way they connect the movies together. Yeah,
the View Askew universe did it first.
Yep.
Yeah.
Dislikes, anybody?
The only thing I guess would be a dislike, even though they didn't follow through with it, was that they were considering using somebody other than Jason Mewes to play Jay. I don't think anyone else could play Jay the way that he did.
Agreed. One thing that I didn't like, this is going to, I think it's an important thing to have that governor's ball in it. I think that should have been in the theatrical cut, not the whole like 30 minutes leading up to it. I think they should have at least had the moment like when TS gets his musket caught on Randy's hair.
On her hair, yeah.
And then like he fires off the blank and then everyone goes and takes cover. I think it could have cut to like after everything was all said and done.
Yeah,
and then just been like, yeah, you know, like, I'm sorry, Mr. Svenning. It was an accident. Oh, get out of here.
Yeah.
And then she breaks up with him. Yeah. And then we just go directly to TS going to Brody's. News vans pull up. Yeah. And I think we could just take it from there. You know, cut out all the little things in between. Mm. You know, maybe show... show the rest of the part, like with Brody getting broken up with as well. I thought it was funny that he framed the John, what was it, the John Doe letter?
Oh, the Dear John letter.
Dear John, thank you. Not
yeah,
John
you're
Doe.
Welcome. Thank John you. Doe.
You knew what I meant.
I knew what you meant.
They could, if they were going to do that, Spinning should at least said, hey, it wasn't my fault that, that musket was shot at the governor. He could have said one or two lines just to clue us in on the theatrical cut.
That was the only thing that I didn't like when comparing the theatrical versus the extended was I think they should have at least had that little bit in the theatrical version. That, and I know it's just like adding to the character. And it kind of makes sense when you factor in like what TS did to Spenning. But like, I felt like Spenning the whole time was just like, oh yeah, you see those guys? They're just standing there. Hey guys, come over here. Yeah, get them out of here.
Yeah.
Like, come on, they weren't doing anything.
Yeah.
They're just standing there. I get he pissed you off.
It's kind of like...
they're just making a villain. They're just making a character for you to dislike.
It's sort of like some of the earlier 80s, 90s movies, like, you know, slobs versus snobs, like Caddyshack, Stripes, and some other, you know, Revenge of the Nerds, sort of like that. The only dislike.
Harry Shaw.
The only dislike I have.
No watch list.
No watch list.
Which is no big deal is the fact that when I found out that the mall in the movie's not a mall actually in Jersey, it's a mall in Minnesota.
Oh, immersion breaking.
So, but besides that, that's pretty much my only dislike.
Okay.
That just ruined the whole movie for me right there. It's burn it
you
now.
Just killed
it's
it.
Not watching gotcha. Anymore. It's burn it.
What's next?
I guess for the most part, even though this isn't the typical does it sequel, we'll just do it for argument's sakes. Justin, does the movie sequel or prequel for you?
Yes. Yes, it does. I would go so far as to say for the theatrical cut, you should buy it. And I will reiterate that if you like the theatrical cut, at least one time you should watch the extended cut, get those little extra details that were not in the original movie.
Yeah.
I think it will just kind of like make the experience. It becomes like the full, I don't know about definitive, Kevin Smith might tell you otherwise.
Yeah.
But if you ask me, I think you can't go wrong either way. Either cut of the movie is great.
Sandy, does a sequel prequel
yes,
for you?
And... Yes, it does. Because it's, you know, the characters connect to the other movies.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Buy it.
Buy it. I would buy it.
Okay. I would agree with the two of you. It does sequel, prequel. Everything's great. Yeah. Buy it, whether it's on DVD, Blu-ray,
Laserdisc,
VHS, whatever you want to watch it on. Did you know there's a third cut of Mallrats?
Is it with an extra 10 minutes of footage like they were joking about in the intro?
No, it's actually, if you get the Blu-ray copy, they have the extended cut, the theatrical cut, and I guess the TV cut.
And
some parts where Jay talks, it's not Jason Mewes. I guess he was too drunk or too high or something, and they couldn't get him into the studio. So they had someone else do the lines for him.
They had to dub it over?
Yeah, they had to dub it over. Because, you know, some of the language with
Mews. Oh, okay.
So I'm like,
they couldn't just cut it out.
No.
Of his language.
Which I would like to get this blue. Just for shits and giggles, I would love to see this. Once I found out about it, it's like, I got to see this version too. Sort of like, I want to see the Once Upon a Deadpool, which is the PG version of Deadpool 2. You know, Stuffy, my sister's got some hot takes on it. Doesn't sequel, but you haven't seen it. I know it's probably a shirt show. But I just want to see it because Fred Savage is in it because he's got him tied down in the same bed and everything that
he's
he was
like
in.
Telling him a bedtime.
Yeah,
story,
like,
right?
Like the Princess Bride. So, okay, Sandy. What's going on for next month?
That's anybody's guess. Feel free to check out Pacific Rim: Uprising or Venom 2. That was a good one.
Venom 2 was good. I have not seen Pacific Rim: Uprising. How was that?
That was good.
I like the first one. Yeah. The first one was a cool movie.
Yeah.
Well, maybe you should watch our review of it and then decide whether or not you should watch it. What about...
That's an option.
Talking about Venom 2, they dropped the trailer for Venom 3. Did they drop the... Well, at least the title for Venom 3 is out, which is Venom 3, The Last Stand, which is the same... which is the same title as Magic Mike. So if I'm lying, I'm dying.
Why The Last Dance, though? Like... I guess we'll find out when we see the movie.
Well, but... I mean, basically, if you think about it, Eddie Brock and Venom, they're squabbling like an
old married couple.
You know, like the Lethal Weapon movies or Rush Hour. You got two people with different views, and they're always arguing, and they're bickering like an old couple. I like
their bickering, though. It's funny.
Just give them chocolate. Everything will be all right.
Yeah.
Just feed them chocolate and convenience store robbers, and everything will be all right.
Yeah.
Well, we here at Sequel Centric are working on the next Patreon episode, which is a secret. Could it Justin be coming back?
Who maybe knows? Not. Maybe, maybe not.
Would Justin come back?
That's the real question. maybe it's
I wouldn't.
Okay.
Sequel Centric with Nate and Justin.
There we go. Until next time.
I got suckered in.
Ask yourself this one question. This is a fireside chat. What are we doing?
I forget.
Okay, we're out of here then.
Bye.
See ya.